It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Tackling the controversies, engaging the culture, challenging the status quo, and taking your calls. Dr. Brown is the director of Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Call now at 866-34-TRUTH and get into the line of fire.
You know, it's almost 2,000 years ago that Paul wrote these words to the believers in Rome. Do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. I wonder, the believers in America today, the majority of the body of Christ in this nation, are we sleeping? Are we slumbering? Are we in a moral stupor? Perhaps the words of Jesus in Revelation 3 to the church in Laodicea, where he said, "You say of yourself, I'm rich, increased in wealth, and have need of nothing, but don't realize you're naked, miserable, poor, wretched, blind." Do those words apply to the body today? Do those words apply to some of us? 866-34-TRUTH. Michael Brown, thanks so much for joining us today on The Line of Fire. I want to put out a simple question for you. Do you believe that the majority of the church in America today is in a state of moral stupor? We are morally asleep. Our sensitivities have been dulled. We are captive to the sins of the world, or we are indifferent. Do you believe that most of the church in America today is in a state of moral stupor, slumbering, sleeping, not spiritually alert? If so, why? If that's the case, why? And what can be done about it? I was struck by this again the other day. Of course, yesterday we gave a plea for moral sanity in the midst of the insanity of the morality in America today. But what grieves me is not the world being worldly. What grieves me is not wicked people acting wickedly, godless people acting in a godless manner. That's as natural as darkness being dark. I've often said, if I check into a hotel, I'm on the road preaching somewhere, I check into a hotel and flip the light on at night and the room stays dark, I don't get mad at the darkness. I figure, okay, what's the matter with the light? Did I flip the wrong switch, or is something the matter with the light? I'm not so concerned about the world being worldly. I'm concerned about the church being worldly. I'm concerned about those who are supposed to be shining the light being dark, being dimmed ourselves. What's your perception? Is the church in America in a largely slumbering condition? If so, what are the causes? Why are we in a slumbering condition? What are the reasons for us to be in this moral malaise? I heard the movie was coming out some months back, people talking about it. It's got a prophetic message to it, you know, the book of Eli. I heard about it. Some believers saw it, saw some references to it here and there in conversations. So I'm flying wherever, one of my recent overseas trips, and I see that it's available for viewing. So I thought, oh, okay, this, you know, prophetic movie, this movie with a Christian message, Let me watch. So I'm starting to watch the beginning, not much going on. And, you know, it's on the plane. It's not so clear to hear through the earphones sometimes. And as we're flying, it's like, what? No, that wasn't profanity, was it? I mean, it couldn't be, not in this movie with this prophetic message. And then suddenly a scene, it's just like, where is this coming from? Some lady just very improperly dressed. I mean, I don't know, some apocalyptic type scene, and then some guy's hand gets sliced off and blood gushing. I thought, what in the world? And then profanity. Whoa, thanks but no thanks. I'm not going to sit here and defile myself with polluting things for an hour or two for some alleged prophetic message. So I went online just to check to see if, in fact, I heard and saw, is this the movie? And, yeah, X number of F words, X number of violent, you know, blood, gore, this, that, and other things. And I thought, what? And then you hear people say, oh, man, I saw a powerful movie. And these are believers. Think, how in the world can you expose yourself to that kind of trash? Look, we can mess up. Every one of us can see something we shouldn't, or hear something we shouldn't, or look the wrong, and we repent. God, I'm sorry, that's wrong. But to just do the thing and not even think about it, it's fine. People say, well, the Lord speaks to me prophetically. The Lord speaks to me prophetically in those movies. You know the prophetic word the Lord's saying when we are watching trash, gratuitous violence, gratuitous profanity, sex, nudity, whatever? You know what the prophetic word of the Lord is? Get out of there. Get out of there. I mean, isn't that what's written in the word? Come out from among them and be separate? You say, that's legalism. That's not legalism. That's love. If you love me, Jesus said, you'll keep my commandments. We should hate what God hates and love what he loves. You say, Mike, are you perfect? No, I'm striving towards that. When I fall short, I recognize it. I repent. I ask for cleansing. And I move forward in Jesus' name, as opposed to justifying the behavior or thinking it's just fine. I find sometimes that when the alarm is sounded, people just slumbering on. And other things get our attention. Other things can rouse us. Other, you know, talk about some controversial doctrinal issue. Man, everybody would be weighing in on every side of it. But when it comes down to morality, it's grievous when we're not grieved. It's grievous when we're not pained. It's grievous when we've lost sensitivity. You know, Paul wrote to the Ephesians, and he was talking about the people of the world and how we're not to be like that. And we're saved out of that. And he says in Ephesians 4, beginning in verse 17, so I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. He's talking about the unsaved. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. There is a different life that we are to live. So, is the church in America today, by and large, in a moral stupor? If so, why? Got a lot of fascinating and insightful responses the moment I posted the question on Facebook. Phone lines are jammed, but I'll get to a number of calls. I may bring up a few other subjects as well. But look, my goal is not to be throwing stones about how bad everybody is. My goal is for us to all take stock, for all to examine the spiritual culture in which we live, to identify some of the culprits, some of the things that lead to our moral insensitivity, so that we can be awakened and walk in intimate fellowship with the Lord. Let me go to John in Jacksonville. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire. What's your take on this?
Well, you know, I think it comes back to, what's our criteria for who a Christian is? I think we live in a world where you walk an aisle and you say a prayer and, you know, all of a sudden you're a member of the family of God. Well, I mean, let's go to 1 John and read what John has to say. You know, if you want to know you're a Christian, let's look and see, are you doing these things? Are you living the way God would have you to live? And if you're not doing that, you know, I question whether or not you truly had a life-changing experience, we'll call it. So, I mean, you know, yeah, people go out and watch these movies and watch these things, just vulgar stuff, and seems, you know, we're not to be like this world. I mean, we've got to live in it until Christ returns, but, you know, we're not called to be like them. We're called to be a light. We're called to be salt. And my question or my concern is, you know, are we really saved in the first place?
Got it. You know? Yeah, and John, I wrote a book in 1990 called How Saved Are We? Written to the saved. But without question, there are a lot of counterfeit conversions. A lot of people are told they're in when they have not been born again. You're 100% right on that, John, and that is certainly a reason for concern. And many of us, maybe we are believers, but are we in a superficial state ourselves? Because I know people that seem to love the Lord and have had a genuine born-again experience, and yet the moral laxness or the moral stupor is there. Mike in Winston-Salem, got about 45 seconds before the break, but please dive in.
My comment's probably going to take more than 45 seconds total. But anyway, I think the biggest thing that shows that the church is living very much like the world is the state of debt that most churches have. And it violates so many biblical principles, I don't know where to start. I mean, the debtor is slave to the lender. We're to be slaves, and that includes the church, to be slaves to Jesus Christ and to God. Well, you can't love God, you can't love God and mammon the same. The Bible tells us that, but yet when we go into these deep debts, and there isn't a Christian church I know of that doesn't have a tremendous amount of debt, we are then slaves to Bank America, Wachovia, whatever.
All right, hey, tell you what, Mike, hang on. Stick with us through the break. I want to ask the question, is this the symptom or is this the cause? Lots to talk about. I want to be as practical and pointed as possible today here on The Line of Fire. I say the church in America today is stuck in a deep moral malaise, a moral stupor. It is quite pervasive in the body. I believe many, if not most of you listening, would agree. What we're talking about is why. Why is that the case, and what can we do to change that? We haven't gotten to the what can we do yet. We're first talking about why that is the case. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. 866-348-7884, or email me directly at drbrown@askdrbrown.org. Before the break, we were talking to Mike from Winston-Salem, who mentioned that we're going to be slaves to the Lord or slaves to something else. In this case, churches, individuals are slaves to mammon, slaves to debt. So, Mike, is that a symptom of a larger problem, or is that the cause of the problem?
Well, the cause of the problem, which is pervasive throughout all society, is the monetary system. But I don't want to get into that because that gets too complex and it really turns people off. But it is a symptom, but it's a symptom that the church, even the church, and probably most Christians, have accepted the worldly view, mammon being the world. And that's basically what we've done. And we've gotten to the point where we no longer depend on the Lord for our reward. You know, the Bible says the Lord will richly reward us according to his wisdom, not according to ours. Mm-hmm. But when we go out, and that includes the church, and we borrow money to build a wing onto the church, or we borrow money to buy a car or whatever, we are then depending on Bank America or the credit card company. That also makes us unequally yoked, because the interest that we pay is, and the asset that then the bank holds by the mortgage or the debt is then used by others to build, to make things like, you know, pornography sites or, you know, liquor stores or, you know, bars and things like that.
Got
so
it.
We are then so, unequally yoked. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, good. So I think you've laid out, I know that you have a lot more to say about the monetary issue, but you've laid out a perspective. I appreciate it. I just want to get to a few more calls, but the divided heart issue, being pulled in different ways, are we trusting God? If not, does that then bind us up? Thanks for that. I would bet that's a perspective most wouldn't have addressed, but it's quite pervasive. Worth thinking about. 866-34-TRUTH. Got one line open if you'd like to join in. Debbie in Franklin, Massachusetts, thanks for calling today.
Hello, Dr. Brown.
Hey.
Okay, here's my look at things. You know, when you look at the Bible, you have to look at the men of God who really feared the Lord and really respected him. And King David, it says in the Bible that David was a man after God's heart. And so you look at that, okay, why? What did David do different? And so if you look in Psalms, he says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life." Now, if all Christians who go to church have that attitude, they wouldn't be caught up in all this immorality and not, because when you talk to the Lord, you have that relationship. So when you say, "Lord, check my anxious thoughts, and am I doing anything that offends you?" The Lord will tell you, right?
All right, so people have to make that effort then, Debbie,
to spend
that time with God for
right.
their hearts to be searched. So lack of time with God
exactly.
would then lead to lack of soul searching and examination. Right.
It's like, how serious are they with their relationship with the Lord? Is it like, do they take it as a grain of salt? Do they just do their weekly duty by going to church? I mean, are they playing games? I mean, you know, that's the thing that people have to take the Lord serious, you know, because one day they're going to meet him, and they don't want to have to put their head down in shame when they see the Lord.
Got it. Which then leads to the larger question as to why we're not more serious. Hey, Debbie, thanks for weighing in. I appreciate that. 866-34-TRUTH. Why aren't we more serious then? Here are just some of the comments on Facebook. Because of a lack of true intimacy with God, the last report I saw said that the average Christian spends 3 minutes a day in prayer. People must be brought into true relationship with Christ. Another comment, antinomianism is both a cause and an effect, so lawlessness of moral and doctrinal stupidity, right along with the commonly accepted idea that humans really can't help but sin. Another comment, we are in an entertainment stupor and are mesmerized by primetime TV, the latest movie, our iPhones, Blackberries, and other gadgets, the internet, social websites, etc., etc. The only answer is for Christians to set your minds on things that are above, not on things of the earth. A song that I like and listen to frequently asks the question, are we sowing to the spirit or sowing to the flesh? We're doing one or the other all the time. Believers are reflecting the behavior and belief of their pastors. The fivefold ministry in these last days has failed to prepare the saints to overcome this moral avalanche that's here. All very relevant comments for sure. Laura in Raleigh, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello. I actually had 2 points, and now there are three.
Uh-huh.
I'll make them brief. One, okay. I think that we are too preoccupied in assembling ourselves together as believers. We're in public worship, public meetings, public prayer meetings, and we spend far too little time in quiet time one-on-one with the Lord. Even though we know we're supposed to, I think we're all guilty of that public assembly, and it takes priority, and we rush out the door, which brings me to point number two. We're a very active society, and we're very busy, and we're not taking that time to be still and know that he is God, be still before him. And then that made me come to my third point, which is we are more busy talking about the Lord than we are talking to the Lord. So our prayer life is not what it should be. And all of these three points are common sense, and we know them, and we're taught them over and over, but are we acting upon them? I feel that our society has just become too wrapped up in, you know, prayer meetings and worthy causes, good acts, but being with the Lord should be the priority, speaking to the Lord, listening to the Lord.
And, you know, Laura, one thing you mentioned that sparks a thought in me, if in our corporate gatherings we really encountered the Lord, it would be different than just coming together for a meeting or a church service. You know,
I totally agree.
That so much of what's done is kind of a pep talk thing or just get everybody together and keep them happy as opposed to really bring us into an encounter with God and his word, because that would change us. But thank you for the three observations. Very clear. May God help us to step in the right direction. 866-34-TRUTH. By the way, I read an email yesterday to which I took strong exception from a gentleman named Mike from Chicago, and he was able to call in today. So in a little while, I actually want to talk to Mike, and we'll have a brief discussion about some of the things in his email. He's made some strong statements, and I always love it when people are willing to call in to talk about it, because, hey, if we can't do that, talk in a civil way to one another as believers, how can we possibly grow in God? I wrote down a list before the show of some of the principal things that would put us in the state of moral stupor. Lack of encounter with God is one of them. So we've heard that. Both people have written that and spoken that. Media, just being so soaked and saturated by media that's around us. Drinking in unclean things. We talked a couple weeks back about the extent of time wasting that we do with media. So it's not just polluting, it's time wasting. I've got a number of other things listed here. I appreciate the comments. So we'll take some more calls. And Mike in Chicago, we'll talk about your email on the other side of the break. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Line of Fire, Michael Brown. Delighted, as always, to be with you. 866-34-TRUTH. If you'd like to weigh in on the question, what do we do about the moral malaise of the American church? I mean, I asked the question at the beginning of the show, do you think that we're in a moral stupor, moral malaise? The answers are obvious. Yes, we are. The question is, what has caused it? Why are we in the state that we're in? And if we're in this state, what can we do to get out of it? 866-34-TRUTH. Hey, just another reminder. Every week we have a special resource offer that is online only. If you go to AskDrBrown.org, you'll see it right on the homepage, a way that we can get very important resources, some apologetics, some that will spiritually awaken you and stir you at substantial discounts into your hands. So make sure you visit the website and check out the weekly online offers. It's just our way to distribute more materials at an easier way for you to get them and hence touch more people and see the kingdom of God advanced. I'm going to stir the waters just a bit more and then give some practical suggestions. But what do you think? You talk to me honestly. Do you think I'm being judgmental when I talk about being wrongly polluted by media, that we've got no business watching stuff with sex scenes or nudity or all kinds of profanity or gratuitous violence, that we as God's people, children of the light, separated holy to the Lord, have no business watching that? It's one thing that you're working around unsafe people and they're unsaved. You hear profanity or this or that, whatever, and you just interact with them and shine the light. Or they're vulgar in their language, or not everyone at work dresses right. Well, we're lights in the midst of darkness. But when it comes to being entertained by the filth of the world, when it comes to paying money to go sit somewhere to be vomited on, I take exception to that. Have I ever seen something wrong? Of course, and I'm grieved over it and repent over it and seek to please the Lord and not repeat the error. But I certainly don't go around justifying it. Or talking about what a great movie it is and how everybody should see it. Well, there's a couple little bad scenes. Oh, it's a great restaurant to go. It's a fabulous restaurant. Just a little poison in the food, but it's a great restaurant. Who would think like that? So take a few more minutes. What are some of the causes of the moral stupor in America, in our own lives? And then I want to list a few more and give you what I believe are some of the cures. James in Jacksonville, thanks so much for calling today.
Yes, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you, sir.
Yes, I listen to your show every day. I love what you're doing. I just want to make a comment on some of the things you were saying, because I also saw the Book of Eli. Maybe I might be a different type of Christian. Everybody's called for a different walk, and I know that. But last night at Bible study, we was in Philippians 2, and we were studying how you must work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I think that we were forewarned about the things that are happening in the world today. And truly, maybe I could be wrong, and I won't say that I'm perfect. I won't say that I've been hit by this light with this big idea. But I think that in these days and times, that as Christians, we should become stronger, tougher. Mm-hmm. We should not pay so much attention to someone else, but we should work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, I watched the Book of Eli, and yes, it did have the arm cutting off. It had gun shooting. It had all that. But what I gathered from that, and maybe this is the key, what I gathered from that is that the ultimate thing was that it showed how powerful the Word of God. This guy said, if I just had this book. Now, throughout the whole movie, they never said the Bible, but he said, if I just had this book, people will follow me. People will listen to me. I could get the people to listen to me. And if no one was a Christian, which we are, I've been saved since 1990, and we know the Word of God, we walk in the Word of God, we live the Word of God, but if you never heard it and you saw this movie, I'm willing to bet you that someone would have turned their ways and said, let me get this book, let me put this book up. So sometimes in the mania and hysteria, you can't find God. And I think sometimes in the fear of what this world is doing, that we can't positively look at a way to reverse what we think, because we won't be able to change it. You think it's bad now, it's going to be 1,000 times worse in the years to come. So what we need to do is find a way that we can work through this mess and come up with a better way to save souls.
Hey, so James, let me ask one thing. I appreciate your passion and I appreciate your honesty. You know, Jesus said that which is born of the flesh is flesh. In my judgment, something like the Book of Eli would be flesh. So what it would produce is flesh. In other words, it wouldn't produce genuine turning to God or holiness or purity. Do you have a different take on that?
Well, I don't have a different take on it, but what I want as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus Christ, I don't want to live in fear anymore. We're scared to watch the TV. We're scared to read the newspaper. We're scared. No, it's not going to get any better. So if we think this is the temptation is bad now, wait until the day of a wrath. It's only going to get worse. And that I think that surely there are some Christians that are not far along and they walk and they need to be fed milk. But the ones that are stronger, we need to see past this smallness of what's on television, what's on the radio. And we need to become stronger spiritually and be able to see past that and find a common goal or a common cause to fix it and work within the mess, because it's only getting worse. I'm 43. I was born in the 60s, and when I came up, we didn't have any of this stuff. But now it's just regular living.
All right, so let me ask you one more question. When the word says to come out from among them and be separate and touch no unclean thing and don't let any of these things be in your midst, I'm not afraid of what's on TV. I'm just not going to have a TV around because it could be polluting and a time waster.
I agree with you on that. But I'm going to put it to you like this. When Jesus went out to save people, he didn't go inside the synagogue and the mosque. He went out to the people too. And so we won't have to go there. We're going to have to go to those places where we don't want to go. We will go there to save souls because that's where the souls are hurting.
We
will have to go there.
Yeah, so James, I'm totally with you on going into the world to win the world, but I'm going to draw the line in terms of being entertained by the world. In other words, if I was, I'm not going to go into a strip club to witness to the strippers. I'll look for another opportunity for somebody to have a chance to reach someone. But hey, James, I appreciate the call and I appreciate you listening to us on a regular basis. 866-34-TRUTH. Hey, look, there's no question that there's a lot of pollution in the world. There's no question there's a lot of filth in the world. And whether it gets far worse in the years ahead or decades ahead, many would say, you bet, it's going to be getting far worse. Certainly all around us, there's no sign of any immediate turn to sanity here in America. I'm believing God for a great awakening, but I fully recognize the polluted state that we are in, and I see so much undermining that I see, it's only going to get worse at least for a while, and maybe ultimately in many ways it will. But I am going to flee by God's grace from what is unclean, from what is destructive, flee youthful lust, right? I'm going to separate myself from those things that are polluting, those things that are harmful, those things that are displeasing to God. If I fall short, I'll be quick to repent and honor the Lord and seek to eradicate any root of disobedience that might be there, rather than getting tougher by being around sinful things all the time. That won't make me tougher. That'll make me duller. That'll harden my heart. That will cause me to become insensitive. Do we go into the world to win the world? Absolutely. But we do not put ourselves in a position of temptation or defilement in order to do so, and we certainly don't choose to be entertained by the defilement of the world. Stay with us. Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us today as we seek, as always, to be a voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity in the midst of a society in chaos and a church in compromise, talking about the moral stupor that we find the Church of America in today. 866-34-TRUTH. Hey, can I once again urge you, those of you who shop in states, cities that have Lowe's food, let's hold them to their word. We commended them for a good family response when Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition came out. The manager said, if we get a complaint about a magazine, we pull it. Since then, they've begun to sell Cosmopolitan. I've talked to managers a couple of times, gotten no response beyond looking into it or just looking at me or okay, but haven't done anything. So would you simply, politely, go into a Lowe's food store? Women in particular, it's great if you can do this, ladies, And if you see a Cosmopolitan magazine being sold, talking again about the grocery stores, would you just politely go in and say this is inappropriate? This is a family store, grocery store. Cosmopolitan is inappropriate. Just ask them to look at it, look at some of the headlines, and say you've been informed that, they're very family sensitive. If they get a complaint on a magazine, they'll pull it. And then just let us know their response. You can email me personally, and we'll give it to our team, Dr. Brown, Dr. Brown at askdrbrown.org. Or you can call this special number, 888-378-FIRE, 888-378-3473, and tell us if you have gone in, spoken with them, what has happened. Before I finish my list of some of the causes for moral stupor in the American church today and then what some of the antidotes are, let me grab one more call. Sabrina in Lexington, North Carolina, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, how are you?
Great, thank you.
I wanted to make a comment on the movie, The Book of Eli. I thought it was a good movie. They didn't really so much emphasize on Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. But what I took from the movie was when he was in the little shootout with the man of the town, the big man of the town, and it was just him alone. And he was like, kill him, kill him. It's just one man, you know. But the Spirit of God was with Eli, and it kind of referenced me back to the scripture, if God be for me, who can be against me? And he will end up getting out of that, and you know, him just on a mission basically, for God, doing what he has to do with no distractions basically. And when he thought he lost the book, you know, he thought it seemed as though he thought it was over, but because he had the word grounded and rooted in him, he could say verbatim what the book of God said when he got to his destination. So I thought it was a pretty good movie.
All right, I may have to do a show on, just on this subject and get pros and cons. So let me ask this. Like I said, I only watched the very beginning of it before I turned it off. But did the profanity, violence bother you at all?
Profanity. I don't remember any profanity. But no, the violence didn't bother me for the simple fact that it was kind of symbolic to me, as though things was coming up against him, so to speak.
Got it. All right, hey, tell you what, I'm probably going to put just like a kid's movie review where they talk about like violence, profanity, different things in a movie. We'll probably put a link up on the website, askdrbrown.org. If you click on the Line of Fire, a little while, that'll be there. You can just review that. But Sabrina, thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
Okay.
I guess we'll talk about this more on another show, but thanks for calling in. Okay, I will reserve comments. I certainly don't make personal judgment on any individual. And I appreciate whatever spiritual takeaway she got or James got. Obviously, I've got a different take on this, but that's definitely a subject that I think I'll take up on another show, get some feedback. By the way, we lost Mike. We lost our emailer. He either chose to get off the line or he wasn't able to stay. But either way, I was going to give him a chance to defend what he wrote to me, but didn't work out today. Okay, very quickly, my top list of reasons that we're in moral stupor in no particular order in so much of the Church of America, and I say we, okay? I'm part of the body, all right? Lack of encounter with God, lack of ongoing and lack of deeper encounter with God, the pervasive influence of media, both as a time waster and polluter and a duller of our senses, the low standards in the body. We're around such low standards, we get used to them, in leadership as well, personal sin. When personal sin creeps into our lives, it's often been said either sin will keep you from the Bible and prayer, or the Bible and prayer will keep you from sin. False teaching, a counterfeit grace message or a deceptive grace message or a misguided grace message or misguided teaching about what legalism is to keep people from holiness. We'll talk about the solution when we come back. Stay with us. All right, time for me to lay out some of the solutions to the problem This issue of awakening a sleeping church has been a deep burden of mine that I've carried most of my believing life, and something, of course, where I always search my own heart. So I am not throwing rocks and pointing fingers. I'm saying we have a problem, and here are some of the solutions to that problem. If lack of encounter with God is one of our biggest issues, then we must make a determined effort to meet with God. You know, there's the saying, out of sight, out of mind. It can happen with spiritual things and the things of God as well. We must make a determined effort to spend quality time with God. It'll change us. It'll awaken us. It'll stir us. It'll impact us. Not just an intellectual reading of Scripture, but reading, God, speak to me. God, open my heart and mind. God, change me. And then a quality prayer, focusing in on the Lord. That's what I've been recognizing as a major issue in my life. Not the time spent as much as the undistracted time spent. And then you just have to make a decision to cut off everything displeasing. If you watch pollution on TV through the internet, then you just have to separate from it. Or you have to make sure that if you're around those things, that you're not polluted by them, that you make choices not to be polluted by the world. If we're polluted by the world, we'll be like the world. We'll think like the world. We'll act like the world. If there's uncleanness in our own lives, then let's not just justify it. Let's be diligent and vigilant to go to the Lord and to go to brothers or sisters for help so that we can live lives that are pleasing in God's sight. And then let's recognize the false teaching that's out there. Listen, any grace message that gives you a license to sin is an error. No matter how much truth it has in it, it is an error. If it gives you a license to sin, Jude warned about it. He spoke of godless people in his day who turned the grace of God into a license for immorality. Anything that tells you that sin is not ugly, that sin is not hateful, that sin is not displeasing to God is something you want to stay away from. God's grace does not minimize sin. It magnifies the power of the blood of Jesus, and it gives us the ability to live changed lives. So beware of false teaching. And those who are preaching and teaching, be sure that your message is adhering to the full message of God as much as possible. And let us beware of the false alarm of legalism. The moment you start to seek holiness, the moment you recognize something's wrong, the moment you say this is an unclean practice, and oh, that's legalism. Listen, there is such a thing as legalism, which is externally imposed religion. I always say it is laws without love and rules without relationship and standards without a Savior. But when you love the Lord and want to please Him and thereby live a holy life, that's not legalism, that is love. So we need an awakening in our teaching. We need awakening in our personal lives. We need to consciously go against the grain of a sinful society. Look, if you float in the water, you will go with the tide, and a lot of us are floating. One of our grads from Fire School of Ministry, by the way, you want to be immersed in an environment that will change you deeply and get you living a holy counterculture life, Fire School of Ministry. There's still limited window where you can get in for our fall trimester, but if that's you, go to the website, askdrbrown.org, and click on Fire School of Ministry. One of our grads posted, and then another agreed on our Facebook account, that we need to make a conscious and determined effort. Swim against the tide. Swim against the tide. The tide of the culture, the tide of a complacent Christianity, the tide of moral malaise that we're in. Swim against it aggressively. Renew your mind according to the Word. Put out those things that are polluting. Read and listen to materials that'll challenge you. Hang out with other people who have a passionate heart for God, and together create a holy counterculture direction that you can do the things pleasing to God. And then we go into the world to win the world. As far as sin, we come out of the world. As far as souls, we go into the world. And then we have something to offer. Tomorrow, we'll be taking your questions on a wide range of subjects. Join us. Whole lot more to talk about.